Gentlemen, welcome to another early edition of the No Cash, No Code podcast. I am your commissioner, Andre Clark, and I'm joined by the historian himself, who's involved in one of the most enthralling three-way battles at the top of the league. Tom, how are you?
Three ways, right, Andre. It's getting spicy, and I think had to have a word with myself before the pod this morning to make sure that the energy levels still reflect those from earlier in the season, despite the gap that is opening up between me and the precious title. But no, I'm very well, matey. Great game week. Very interesting one. Lots to get into.
Great game week. Ups and downs. Loads of swaps. I'm surprised I managed to nick a green in every single... Oh, no, it's a ready, no cash, no cold. It's green everywhere else. Classic, classic week. How did that happen? Talk us through the ups and the downs in real football.
So I think the overwhelming theme of this particular game week, maybe, we've had so many goals this season, and that didn't change. But I think the theme here is some clean sheets for a change, and quite specifically clean sheets for almost every goalkeeper that you could imagine having in No Cash, No Code, which, given it's been a season of goalkeeping woes, there was a wonderful irony that the top point scoring goalkeeper did not keep a clean sheet, and that was in West Ham's win against Everton, where Areola's penalty save got him to 13, which we may have to discuss at some point as to whether a penalty save in isolation should lead to more points than a clean sheet. But that maybe is a conversation for another day. Brentford, Chelsea, 2-2, topsy-turvy game, more of the same for Chelsea. Can't put teams away. Fulham, mini Barcelona at the moment. Don't know if you saw their performance against Manchester United 2 weeks ago.
Wonderful stuff.
Absolutely glorious. And they've dumped Brighton 3-0. Brighton, funny old team this season, aren't they? Newcastle, back to winning ways. Another clean sheet at home. Wolves, without a number of players, starting to slide downwards in the table. Nunez's 98th minute winner caused great excitement for Liverpool fans, anger amongst fans of everyone else. But another clean sheet for Liverpool, and some points spread around a few different players there. Liverpool, Spurs beat Crystal Palace 3-1. Sort of hard-working performance, having fallen behind. But some points for Heung-min Son, who was a very heavily transferred in player. Villa Luton was a cracker. 2-0 up, back to 2-2, won it 3-2. More goals for Ollie Watkins. Bournemouth made very heavy weather of Burnley, which will be interesting to discuss when it comes to next week's transfers. City beat United, having fallen behind. Some cracking goals in there, and a hell of a lot of hurt for those of us that decided to transfer out England's shiny star. And then don't even really know where to start with Sheffield United, Arsenal. Although, listener, it was quite funny because I sent a message to Andre saying, I've never seen anything like this in the Premier League before, which he took to mean, aren't Arsenal brilliant, and sent me a really long text message. He's probably Arsenal's greatest team of all time, to which I responded, no, I'm talking about how bad Sheffield United are.
For context, I was talking about this particular six-game run of form, because I can't remember even the great Pep's teams that we've seen in recent years, the Fergie teams, like putting this many goals past people. It's rare I wake up, check the score, and manage to go straight back to sleep again. Like, the game was well and truly over, even though I woke up myself for the second half overall. I want to go back on your Areola before I bask in Arsenal for a little bit. Definitely. I think once they change the rules that a penalty miss doesn't actually credit with the goalkeeper, like you have to physically put your hand on it, that's a rarity, right? So I think they do deserve to get the extra points. And the boy did 9 saves. So the Gordy score is well deserved. But yeah, I do agree. When it used to be you blast it over the bar and the goalkeeper instantly gets a 12-pointer, that's nonsense. But now they've shaved it off. It was a decent save. So I'm obviously a beneficiary as well. So I'm happy with that one. Arsenal itself, I mean, that was one of the big decisions at the start of the week, like which captain to go with. I feel a little sorry for the many Saka captainers, the significant amount in the league, to come out with just that many points when clearly the rout was on. That's tough. It's not hurt stuff, but it's tough. So yeah, I felt for you on that respect.
It's another one of those where the amount of emotional energy expended on picking a differential captain, which I've really not done at all this season. And both Son and Saka were captained by various different people. Son probably got the amount of points he deserved, I would suggest. But for Saka to, he hit the bar in the first minute, I think. He
Yep, I've watched
then
the game many times now. Yeah.
two assists. They're 4-5 up at half time. The goals have been spread around, so you're a bit angry that he hasn't scored yet, but you know you've got 45 minutes ahead. You're already ahead of Haaland. One goal, and you've also got the 3 bonus points. You're looking at 15 plus, which for those of us who took out Foden was even more important. And for
Yep.
him and Son both to end up with only one more point than Haaland, who of course missed possibly the biggest sitter of the season so far, but then was
Shocking.
handed a goal at a point where it looked like City were going to do their usual thing and just play out for a 2-1 win. I'm thinking this is great. Haaland 4 points. Gives me, you know, it was absolutely the right decision.
A
And then
hundred
Saka
percent.
gets taken off and ends up with 1 point more. I mean, that's it really hurt that, I have to admit.
I mean, it deserved a little section of itself because I felt for you. I felt, I mean, obviously. It's one of those weird ones as an Arsenal fan. I've mentioned this before. I'm in this situation where I'm really enjoying the form of our team, which means absolutely nothing because we're third and we're going to stay third for quite some time yet. But I'm really enjoying it. And then there's that small percent of me. It's getting smaller and smaller as the season continues. That's kind of like, yeah, it wouldn't be terrible if Saka doesn't score. It wouldn't be terrible if Gabriel doesn't get a clean sheet. These are players I own. That's what the game has done to me. That them actually not scoring due to over ownership, captaincies, and Salibas and everything else. Yeah, it's a problem. But I'm enjoying what we're going through right now. We've digressed massively off topic, so let's get to the meat of the sandwich, shall we? Let's start talking about the interesting parts. You can go first. Let's go with team of the week.
So, going into that last game, the clumping of teams was absolutely extraordinary. I mean, I think I was comfortably in the bottom half, but only sort of 5 points behind whoever it was that was fifth or sixth for the week. The Arsenal game definitely did create a bit more of a gap between the top and the bottom. And there was some really good point scoring. We had over 10 players at 80 plus this week, which is getting comfortable green arrows in the game week overall. But let's focus in on a top three. And it's a week where taking hits was very beneficial by the looks of it. Four of the top five highest scores were from people who took hits. And so, whereas usually we would deduct quite a lot of points for hits taking, I think in this particular week, those of us that didn't take hits, frankly, were penalised in some ways. So, effectively, you have to have got 90 to be part of the conversation, 90 post hits, I should add. So, in third place, we have Andy Fisk. Hell of a week for him. It's the other thing I should say is the top three are all in the bottom half of No Cash, No Code, or were at the start of the game week. This
Wonderful.
team has been on a very good run of form recently. He's got three red arrows in his last 11 game weeks. And this week he took a minus four and ended up with 90 points overall. Good transfers made as well, bringing in Son, which sets him up neatly, and his triple Arsenal really pushed him over the edge. Very little on the bench to speak of. His 8-point goalkeeper was beaten by his 13-point goalkeeper. So just all in all, very, very solid week for him. Second place is going to Giannis. And in many ways, Giannis probably, in other weeks, I think I probably would have given him first place. He was the only person in this group not to take a hit, just one transfer made. Saka cap could have been even better.
Yep.
But really nice team, including a couple of differentials in Bradley and Odegaard, both of whom came to the party. 93 points in total for him. Really, really good game week, up from 20th to 18th. But we've got to give Manager of the Week to the person who got the most points, and that is despite taking a minus eight. So we can't give him the century, even though he scored 102 overall. That's not how this works. But this is a man who has had a funny old season, Andre Clark.
Hasn't he just?
Game week 13, he was in the top five, odd no cash, no code, top 70K in the world, riding high. And since then, he had dropped down to almost going out of the top million. So he's had a really, really difficult sort of second third of the season, if you like. But this game week, 102 points with a minus eight, 23,000th in the world, which would be up there in the top echelons of weeks of the season we've had so far by an individual, up 280K in the game.
Massive.
And I think the thing that really tipped it, when I was very tempted, I have to say, to go with Yanis's no-hit team. But you look at the transfers he's made for the minus eight, and he's taken out three men who between them scored 0 points, two because of injury in Højlund and Hee Chan, and one because of Stupinian is just a bit rubbish. And he replaced them with three players in Muniz, Saka and Bradley, who scored 26 points between them. So plus 18 if you take away the minus eight. And that to me tipped it over the edge. So he would be my manager of the week. Any complaints about that?
No complaints whatsoever. Happy that we forewarned the listener last week by mentioning the rivalry between the brothers, between Jeff and obviously Mike. Well, he took that personally. So yeah, it's good to see you back, Mike. Good to see you storming up the table with that one. No complaints whatsoever. It's not a real 100 burger, but it's as close as we're going to get that game week. So well done, you, sir.
Very, very strong effort all round for him. And I suspect he may get a mention again. Over to you for pick of the week.
Oof, pick was fun. I don't know if it's been mentioned on this podcast, but Arsenal had a good game. And I was really desperate to give it to an Arsenal player, just because. The ones that jumped off the page from the Arsenal game, those, I mean, I've held him for ages. He did nothing during my time, but Arteta's magic. He's done some tweaking, and Ben White is now a quality right back again, or at least being utilized for his skill sets. So I wanted to give it to the White owners, but that's Fiske, Eli, and Jeff. Then Odegaard, obviously, big points scored there. That's Colin, that's Giannis, and that's Steve. The highest scoring player in our usual way of going through these things was not from the Arsenal game in terms of like not owned by anybody. It's Shah. There's a throwback name for you, isn't it? So Cavi is the only Shah owner for 12 points. That's an assist, that's a clean sheet, and that's bonus. But it didn't feel like I can give it for just a 12 pointer when there's so many good points knocking around the league. So I thought we'd do a bit more analysis. And also, I just don't like giving Cavi awards. Sorry, Cavi. So had a bit more of a wander around. I really like the Saka captain shout. I know it didn't get what it deserved, but there were 12 Saka captains. Well done, you guys. Everyone else is on Haaland, except you mentioned earlier some extra captains. No, there's only other two others. There was Elijah who went with Madison. That's got to hurt. Yanis isn't getting the Odegaard shout as a pick of the week because I said there's a few of them, but Hugo Gordon-Lennox went with the best captain choice overall. He is the only Odegaard captainer. That's 20 points. Hugo scored 56 this week. So that Odegaard captaincy is an unbelievable highlight. So I was thinking maybe it's going to be that one. And then I had a little wander through the transfers. Loads of people made the right call. 12 people brought in Son. You said about the right level of points. I think he's a little bit unlucky not to come out with at least an assist for the Werner. I mean, you've lived that life already, haven't you? Watching Werner do these things. Shout out Havertz for not doing that quite so much anymore. But to be honest, you'd ruin this. You've ruined this section already because there's only one. It's Mickey Brown. For you two, as you've said, let's go into more analysis on this one. It's the transfer. Out goes three non-scorers. To get 18 points for your transfer for the week with a minus eight, still be 18 points positive. Stuff of dreams. But it's also the names that are in there. Muniz, the only Muniz owner, that's a shout already for pick of the week. He's brought in Saka. That should be a crime. to not have Saka in your team already. There are only a couple. So Cavi is still resisting Saka. The irresistible Saka is being resisted somehow. Jeremy May also, you got what you deserved, you two, in general for the last few weeks. But anyway, back to his transfers. As you said, Muniz, Saka, Bradley. Bradley would be a contender if you're taking into the price. But then it's the rest of his team. He's got a Kiyo. He's got an Arsenal left back that no one else has even considered having in their team, who's been on unbelievable form right now. So between the amazing transfer and having three or four individual contenders for pick of the week by himself, I think it's the double. I think he gets both. I think he's pick of the week and he's team of the week. I know there's not an individual single pick in there. And technically, I guess the highest score is Shah, but I feel that's just... It's that week deserves more, in my opinion. So I think the picking is what I want to give it. Am I being unfair here? Where do you stand on this one?
Well, you know that I have a very stringent rule about the fact that I can't blame you for giving it to a man who has two of the highest point scoring differentials, even if they are not both only owned by him. So, you know...
Well, actually... Let's check. I think he might be. I'm sure he's the only Muniz owner.
No.
That's just.
No.
Is there one more?
Yeah, there's one other.
There's two. There's Tom Kane as well. Well done,
yeah.
You.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I'll come back to this one before we finish this. I'm just going to have a check on. He's the only Kiwior owner in the entire league. So
yeah.
For that 10 pointer. And the 18 points transfer. I'm going to steal it from Cavi, who's not a listener anyway, so it's fine.
He won't know. Can we, before we move on to, in fact, let's move on to her, because this is maybe going to be part of that. Do you want to kick us off with her? I've got a couple, but one.
I'd like to kick us off.
Yeah.
I want to kick us off with someone who's not going to win it, but it's how the week kicked off. I'm pretty sure you're not going to give it to him, so... I want to talk listener through. Tom and I communicate a fair bit, as you can tell, especially during the early kickoffs, which is about bedtime around my parts. There was this unbelievable moment 45 minutes into the game. We were at halftime in all the early games, and there are no points. Like no points of any real substance that have been scored. A lot of nil-nils, but obviously that's not a clean sheet yet. Harry, who's had very little mention on this podcast, considering what he's been doing at the moment, Harry managed at halftime to have a bench of Areola, Gordon and Gusto. He had all of the point scorers in the entire game at that point in time, all sat on his bench. It's come good. He's okay. So I don't think he's the winner. Like many, Areola on the bench, but Dubravka gets the clean sheet. Gordon, I mean, at worst, maybe it's Palmer. So there's only 3 points there. And Gusto doesn't get into his best 11 with Gabriel, Saliba and Virgil. That double Arsenal defence has been doing wonderful things for Harry. So it's a shout out because I thought it was locked up in the quickest time ever. But a 28-point bench when you still have that good a score doesn't actually win it. On the benches... Obviously, Areola has skewed this, but it's worth talking about. Will Brox keeps rocking up with these weeks at the moment. 22 points on the bench for Will Brox. 21 for Stephen. 19 for Stephen Hill. Sorry, Steve Stuckling with the 21. Stephen Hill with the 19 on a -4. I mean, that's going to smart. Colin, however, gets the biggest note out of those. Colin gets a pass on those. I mean, Colin's got 19 points as well. But here's our Leno on the bench. He started Areola and he's got Byrne on the bench. So for me, those guys aren't going to get it. For me, once again, my shout out for her is going to be based on transfers. That's my theme for today's Ricky Singh. Ricky has gone with, it's a -4. That's not a lot. It's a -4 where he's gone with Estupiñán, sorry, going for Van de Ven. Fair enough. To take out Foden, many people have, but to take out Foden, for Madison for a -4. That's as swingy as it could possibly get. It's one of the worst transfers so far this week, this season, with I believe that is a -12 net. So for me, that's my nomination for the Hurst Award.
He was going to be right up there for me as well. You know that I love to do a bit of digging onto the leagues that other people are in.
Yes.
So There's a couple that I wanted to highlight as part of this her conversation, but my favorite one is Ricky is in a two-person league with a lady called Amy Singh, who I really hope is his wife. And Amy is currently 28 points clear of Ricky, despite the fact that Amy hasn't used a wild card yet this season, and therefore, quite understandably, during what has been quite a turbulent period where a wild card would have been really helpful, she's taken like 24 hits, 24 points hits in the last 4 or 5 game weeks. And in my mind, that is because Ricky hasn't told her that there is a wild card available, because he
I need to look into this. I remember there being a story, and I think there was some nonsense about he's running two teams and running it on her behalf. I just don't believe him. I didn't believe him last time. I don't believe him now. I'm looking up to go. I'm going to find this. I'm going to find that. That's fantastic to be losing in that too many.
The league is called 6 versus 19. Is Ricky a
Thank
listener?
you.
Because I think we're going to
Oh,
need.
very much.
Okay,
Very
well,
much.
Ricky, please let us know. A, can we confirm that Amy is his wife rather than a cousin? Which would be a lot less fun. Two, please, can we have an explanation for 6 versus 19? I'm hoping it's something sexual, but let's find out.
Oh,
And
let's get an invitation out to Amy as well. That's how I'm feeling about this. There's
she
some
could
rivalries
be.
in here.
I think that would be a really nice addition. We've got brothers in the team. What we haven't had yet had is a husband and wife. So I think Ricky's going to take some beating. I know we have talked a lot about this man over the last few weeks, but Hugo Vaughan-Lennox once again in the bottom three for the game week. And I think the thing that's most extraordinary to me, Andre, and he's now on a run of 7 green arrows out of 8, 10 out of 12. He's dropped from 61K to 2.3K in only 12 game weeks. It's a remarkable drop off. And it does seem to have coincided quite neatly with when we asked, well, I asked the question as to whether he was running his own team or not. I'll leave that there. But his team is actually remarkably template. It's not like, a couple of the lads who are down the bottom who have got triple Chelsea midfield still. But his team is Onana, Colwill, Trippier, Virgil van Dijk, Douglas Luiz, Odegaard, De Bruyne, Palmer, Alvarez, Haaland, Darwin. There's no one in that team that you look at and go, why are they in there? It's a pretty template team. It just so happens that he seems to have not picked any of the players that have scored any points other than Martin Odegaard, who, as you say, was captain. But I did also just want to highlight the drop-off in quality at Weber Chase, now Weber Fox, when it comes to FPL, because obviously this was born out of Weber Chase
Very much.
in the early 2010s. Many of those people are still involved in No Cash, No Code, which we love, and is part of the history of this business and is the main reason that I'm on this podcast. There is a Weber Fox league,
Oh,
and Hugo
yes.
Gordon-Lennox, who is now 31st in No Cash, No Code, so he's in the bottom eight, is still riding high in third place in the web.
That's
Behind
shocking.
Dylan and Yanis, who are the two, obviously also in No Cash, No Code. The other four include Noel Marshall, who we know has given up some time ago. But there are three lads there who should be the youth team for No Cash, No Code. They should be the next people in the invite list. But if you can't get into the top 36 in No Cash, No Code, then I'm afraid there's no invite for you.
I have to agree with that. That's a wonderful, wonderful analysis. I want to deep dive a little bit further on both of those two. I'm not sure if we gave this enough airtime. I'm looking at this drop off, as you've said, from Hugo. He made no transfers for a minute. Do you remember that? And we told him off. Since that point, it's gone horribly wrong. In game week 25, he finished 10,126,000 in the world out of 10.7. He was 10.1. That is, I'm not sure you could pick active players and do that. And that's in a week where he had a Virgil van Dijk double game week, like goal scored, a Haaland and Alvarez and a Darwin that all got points. That is unbelievable scenes to finish 10.1. Wowzers. And also still deep diving in the sings. Ricky, I think my favorite league for him is actually the Cousins League, because that's obviously how he got in here. So he's Nevin's cousin. So you've got Nevin, you've got Ricky, you've got well, who we're assuming is his wife, and another cousin, and then at the bottom is Ricky. So that's unbelievable for me. Cracking work. Ricky, congratulations. Worthy winner of the Hurt Award, I think. I'm still not sure if I've done the right thing there with the pick of the week, but Mike deserves all the flowers today for that wonderful team. It was joyous to watch him storming back up the table. I guess before we go, we should do a follow-up announcement on the No Cash, No Code Cup. So here we are. We're getting very close to the action. As mentioned on the last little mini update, this is the game week. So we two more game weeks to go. Game week 28, game week 29. The cutoff for having to play a decider is unfortunately 27th and below. Somehow I've got a red arrow in No Cash, No Code, so I'm very much there. Oh, look, it's Ricky. So Ricky's at 27th, I'm at 28th, Phil Pemberton, Colin, we're all guys that have a chance maybe of not having to go through one extra round of qualifications. Jeremy, Andy, Elijah, Kinder, and of course Broxy need to be looking over their shoulder to see if they're going to be saved the embarrassment of having to play in a group that is going to include the world average for one of the spots. So look out for the announcements. The draw will be very, very soon. Points hits of the week of the actual game of the matchup will count against you for those that don't know the rules. So if you score 50, they score 53, but they've taken a minus four, you're through to the next round. We are not using the No Cash, No Code Cup that's being provided by the league. The draw will be done by our good selves. It'll be posted. It's all about the randomness of the cup and the, well, the glory of the cup. Are you looking forward to it, Tom?
Never won it, never done well in it, so not really. Let's see if I sort of feel like a good run in the cup also means that I'm probably giving myself a chance to get back into the top spot.
I'm not sure. I mean, Tom, bigger fish to fry, Maxwell. That makes complete sense. You've got a league title to go for. I've won a cup twice, and both times it absolutely hammered my league because I definitely was looking at my opponent and making transfer decisions based on not losing to that person. Both times I was in a season almost as bad as no, I've never had a season as bad as this one. But you know what I'm saying. I wasn't a contender. Focus on the big picture, my friend.
Can I ask one question? This is very important that we get this done now so that we don't get complaints later. Previous years, hits taken the week before the cup competition also were taken into account for the final score. Are we ignoring that this year?
Great question. How do you feel about that? Like, what would you prefer to see happen? I was going to go with just the week itself. It was abused once. I'm not going to pretend otherwise. There were minus... I remember someone, he actually did win the cup, but no one complained at the time. He had like a minus 20 in one of the weeks beforehand. It was basically free hitting for cup games. And now I've said that out loud, that sounds really bad. So what are you thinking? 2 weeks of hits?
I mean, it feels like a lot of hard work for us. But
it is.
I suppose it probably does create more fairness. It's the sort of thing, you know, with his current form, I could imagine Will Brocks abusing that pretty heavily.
That is true. Oh, and Rob at the bottom there. Rob Leach is definitely gonna, yeah. So the week of the game and the week beforehand, it's going to count. It has been decided live right now. We're going to call that the Will Brocks Rob Leach rule. Due to the mismanagement of teams by the following cheats, we are now going to have 2 weeks. Sorry, Rob, that was mean, but 2 weeks of hits will count that week and the week beforehand. Great shout. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Clarified that for everyone now. We will take no complaints at any point. And
exactly.
When are we doing the draw? Is that going to be done next pod?
Straight after game week 29, I believe. So, yep. No, after 29. So, after the pod after.
Fine. Well, lots to look forward to. I need to go away and figure out how I'm going to put a team together that is both competitive this week and next. But this has been an absolute pleasure, and congratulations to Mike Brown. I think he really has come to the fore in this pod, shall we say. And
yep.
We'll see where we get to next week.
See you soon. Great fun as ever.
Bye.